over the world will be able to hear this. I've even got 10 folks on the East Coast that listen to our sermons.
They might start throwing tomatoes at their computer.
All right. You are on.
It's gonna be.
It's gotta be.
Got to be. You know what? I love singing unto the Lord, but I love it better when I can sing in a duet. Because see, then I'm sharing the praise with someone else. Amen. And I love that. And you know what? I'm so thankful this morning for the Bible, because that's God's wonderful words of life. Please.
Mexican time, even, you know, we can kind of more or less, you know, lunch is when you get to it. Well, you'll be able to sing with the saints even more, Brother Johnny, when you get be around the Lord's throne. That's where we're all going to do that, whether we got a voice now or not. We will then. And you're not kidding. If you didn't get to meet my wife, Norma, she's sitting right down here. Raise your hand, hon. And we're missionaries over in Portugal. We have been the last 13 years. Before that, we were in Mexico City for many years. But that's our field for now. And until the Lord gets finished with us there, that's where we'll stay. We work with our son-in-law and daughter, our second daughter, Rachel and Dan. Work with us with three granddaughters there, and I've had some wonderful phone calls with them since we left New Year's Eve, and things the Lord's doing there in different people's lives. And just came to find out this morning that Dan's sending church, which is Cherry Street Baptist Church, that one of your brethren here, God used to start that church when he was in Bible college, Brother Hiram. And my son-in-law will be thrilled to get Brother Hiram's business card and understand that, because they dearly love Cherry Street there in Springfield. It's been a wonderful church for them and really stood behind them. So God has his way in starting these works and spreading his word, and then he brings God's servants along and continues his work through us. I have a message on my heart that some of you men have preached probably several times. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. And our Lord Jesus Christ was there in the streets of Jerusalem and giving witness of himself to the community, and the community was reacting. Most of them were saying, "No, I don't think so. This can't be the Messiah." You had those that did believe on the Lord and the many who did not. But in the midst of the witness of the Lord Jesus there in the community of Jerusalem, you have this passage, Matthew chapter 22, beginning with verse 34. Matthew 22:34 says, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So many times, the Lord here in this particular example, someone asks a question and they have one thing in mind, and the Lord comes back and just nails them to the wall. I love this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were all religious people. They all went to synagogue every Saturday, and they were known in the community for being the righteous leaders of town. And yet the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, and the Pharisees did. And any time the Pharisees could get one up on the Sadducees, they took advantage of it. Or vice versa with the Sadducees. If they could make the Pharisees look bad, they would do so. To look more spiritual, you know, you step on the people around you, right? So, Jesus had just had a discussion with the Sadducees about the resurrection and put them down because they live in heresy, and Jesus spoke truth. So the Pharisees were, hey, well, now that's pretty good. We'll listen to him some more. But among those Pharisees was a lawyer, and he had an attitude of trying to trip Jesus up, because he had already heard enough from Jesus that he knew he didn't agree on some points. Mainly sin. Jesus was exposing the sin in their lives, and he didn't like that one little bit. So he asks Jesus a question, but to tempt him, trying to test his words, see whether or not it would be comforting for the Pharisees to hear Jesus' answer or not. And his question is a simple one. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? We're Pharisees. We pride ourselves on keeping the law of God. But which is the greatest of those laws, Master? But he said it in a spirit of temptation, in a spirit of testing. Will we like or will we not like what you have to say? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And one of the other Gospels adds in, with all your strength. That's everything. Amen. With all that you are, love the Lord thy God. This is the first and great commandment, and the second. There is a second lawyer. There's not just this one, because this one requires another one. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength. And the second is like unto it. It's not independent of it. It's totally tied together. It's like unto it. You love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Amen.
On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All that the prophets spoke about, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel, down through the list of the Old Testament, the prophets spoke of these things. That's not what the Pharisees talked about, though. That was not what was on the Pharisees' heart. Remember in another occasion when the Pharisees had found the woman in adultery, and they brought her, dragged her before the Lord, cast her there, again in the same spirit. What will he say about her? The last thing on their mind was loving their neighbor as themselves. The last thing on their mind was loving the Lord their God with all that they were. They were looking for another opportunity to step on someone and feel more spiritual. They did it with religious people, and they did it with non-religious people. This was their way of life. It's a tragedy of human nature, is it not? It's a tragedy of human nature that man steps on everyone else to try to make himself bigger. And the Lord already addressed that. We can't add anything to our stature. We don't have that power. And when we try to step on other people to somehow think that we're going to be more of a person, we're doing exactly the opposite. We're just showing ourselves up for the no count that we are. We have no righteousness. We have no goodness. So we try to step up and get one up on someone else. Well, that was the attitude in these religious Pharisees. Jesus, what's the most important thing that God has told us to do? Well, he answers directly. Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. But there is a second, and it's like unto it. It's not independent of it. You love these other people around you like you love yourself.
Amen.
And that didn't set well. It didn't sit well then, and honestly, it doesn't sit well with our flesh today. The pastor already referred to it earlier. The way to love other people is by giving them the truth of the gospel. We had a young man, Juan, there in Mexico City years back. And he was the first young man saved in our first work there in Mexico City. He was a university student, quite a rebel in his family, had brought much shame to a proud family in the community. But to make a long story short, he got saved and God began to change him. And his self-righteous mother and dad, who were leaders in the community, threw him out of the house, not because he was being bad, but because they were offended that what they had tried to do with their son had been done with this missionary that moved in across the street that wasn't Catholic. And it was an offense to their self-righteous attitude. And so they ended up getting him, telling him to leave home because he was now being an obedient son. But this obedient son was trying to love his mom and dad and tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. He was trying to love them. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I've heard the truth. Mom and dad have to hear the truth. My sisters and brothers have to hear the truth. My neighbors, my friends, they've got to know about Jesus. And so they said, out of here, Juan. We ain't going to have that in our house. Well, years later, Juan was a successful businessman in Mexico City. And we had been off the field for a few years and were just getting back. Moved farther out on the southeast extreme of Mexico City to start a new work. And we renewed our acquaintance with Juan. And he was not living with his family and living in another home. And he spoke so highly of this family that had taken him in. And I said, well, have you talked to them about Jesus Christ, Juan? Have you shared the gospel with them? You tell me how much you love them. Have you told them about Jesus? He said, well, it's not that easy. You know that feeling, don't you? You know Juan's feeling. There are so many reasons that the flesh and the world and Satan gives us as to why we can't love the people with the gospel. We say we love them, and we do, but there's some areas it seems like, well, you know, we just have to wait. Or maybe I'm not the one to do it, or I'm not prepared yet. All kinds of ideas come into our mind. But if you love them, when he was first saved, he didn't have all these inhibitions. He just knew that he loved his family and his friends, and he wanted them to hear the truth. Because they needed to hear it. Before Satan and the world and his flesh begin to work in his life over the years and give him all the reasonable ideas as to why there's only certain moments that we can witness. We know those thoughts, don't we? We share those thoughts. We suffer from that as a gospel witness time and time again. But the Lord said to this man, you love the Lord with all that you are, and you love your neighbor as you love yourself. As I've spoken the truth to this community, you speak the truth to the community. You say you love them, love them. Tell them the truth. About me, the Lord says. The great commission that this church believes in and practices is a thermometer in our lives. our involvement, our consciousness, our commitment to do what the Lord Jesus told us to do is a thermometer as to how much we're loving the Lord. Because through the Great Commission, we love other people. Truly love them. We give them what they really need. Not what they want to hear. What they need. And when, just like with our children. If we just give them what they want to hear, just what they want, that's not love. That's not love. The child doesn't know what he needs. He knows what he wants. All four of my kids, all of my grandkids, they know what they want. They don't always know what they need. And so the loving one that's looking at the other life gives them what they need, not what they want to hear. And so was the Lord Jesus, and so we must be as His disciples. There is a relationship to loving the Lord your God and loving other people. Psalm 46, verse 10. As Jesus said, this first and great commandment, the second is like unto it. It's tied to it. They're not inseparable. Because to love the Lord requires that we love other people. Psalms 46:10. This is a passage that if I start it, you can finish it, right? Be still and know that I am God. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. But that's not where the verse stops. There is a result of being still before God and knowing Him. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, Pharisee, yeah, you want to know what I'll say to your question. Yeah, religious person, yeah, you want to put on the mask. But there's evidence in the life of the person that loves and knows God.
Amen.
There's no faking. Be still. Busy. Even in our senior years, life can be so busy. Certainly as you're raising your kids, it's a busy time. I watch Dan and Rachel that work with us there in Portugal with the three kids. Just all the busyness of life with three kids in school. With our involvement in the community band. With our involvement in the services that we have for our little church. Life is busy. And to the level of business, busyness that you may have or not have anymore. Jesus, the Lord, says, be still. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off your MP3 player. Be still. Be quiet. And know me. Know that I am that name that Moses heard.
Amen.
Take your shoes off, Moses. You're on holy ground. Who are you, Lord? I am that I am. Be still and know that I am God. We have the different prophets that had their visions, and when they were in the presence of the Lord on His throne, what was their reaction? They fell on their faces as if they were dead men. Ay de mí! Woe! I'm unclean! I'm undone! Don't worry. I've touched you. You're okay. Be still and know me. And if you will do that, the heathen are going to hear about me. I will be exalted, lifted up, raised up high before the heathen. I will be exalted throughout the earth. There is a true result from knowing the Lord, not just talking about Him, not just lip service, but from getting quiet and still before Him and bowing like every other creature has done in His presence. Our relationship to the Great Commission, loving others with the gospel, just like Jesus said, is totally tied to the first one. You love the Lord, your God, with all that you are. And you love your neighbor. Love them as you love yourself. The Lord is not willing that any. The Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all come unto repentance. Know me. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So there's a thermometer. We can take our spiritual temperature. Honestly. We can determine how much we love the Lord. Because one requires the other. If you love the Lord, you must love other people. And you must love them with the truth the way God said to love them. You will tell them the truth about His Son, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ends of the earth will matter. They will continue to matter. They will matter more than they ever mattered as we draw closer to Him. Because this is His heart. And to love Him is to bow and do what He wants. And He wants us to love men and women throughout the earth with the truth as to why He came, why He bled, why He was buried, why He rose again from the dead. Amen. That all should come unto repentance. And so, not just the Pharisee, but brethren, our brethren, us. Sometimes we're not really focused that way. We have been. We should have been. We want to be. Sometimes we're not focused on what God is focused on. And for the believer, that's sin. Yes. For the believer, that's sin. Me or you. So, to a church that's heard, I can only imagine thousands of times, missionaries and pastors, as well as your own pastor, teach and preach, we must obey the Great Commission one more time. Not a new message. Brethren, if we love the Lord, we must obey the Great Commission. We must love others as we love ourselves. And put our feet to the task, even in our elder years. I'm a young grandpa, but I'm already getting some of those more awkward moments, you know. So I relate. But love the Lord. Love the Lord with all that you are. And love the others, these neighbors, as you love yourself. Be still. Know me. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted throughout the earth. Through you. As you know me. And live my thoughts. Live my ways. And do what I want done among mankind. God help us. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Father, as the pastor comes and leads this invitation, we stand before you with nothing to hide. You know every thought of our heart. Help us, Lord Jesus, to love you more than we've ever loved you, to obey you more than we've ever obeyed you, and to love others more than we've loved them in the past. Doesn't matter the stage of our life, whether we're confined to a bed or a chair or not, we can love you. And we can love those that you bring around us or that you allow us to go to. For Jesus' sake, work your will in each and every one of our hearts.
Jesus invites us, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come, I will give you rest. There may be someone here today with a burdened heart, burdened with the cares of the world and not a burden for lost souls. We need to come and bring our burdens to the Lord. Cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. There's no need for a single person today to walk out of this building with a burden on their heart. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, the song says. And that's what we need to do. We'll walk out of this building today refreshed and our spirit renewed by the preaching of the Word of God that you've heard today. We're going to sing an invitation. If God speaks to your heart, we want you to come and respond to it. Jesus says, come, just as you are. What's our invitation hymn?
Number 497.
497. And as we sing this song this morning, sing it prayerfully. And if the Holy Spirit of God speaks to your heart, then be obedient to Him. Come and make things right. Come and make things right. Whatever the Lord bids you to do, do it. Response to that invitation that Jesus gives, come unto me. And we respond, I come. In our hearts, we come to the Lord. We dedicate our lives to Him. We offer our lives as a living sacrifice to God. God lives in me. He works in me. He'll work through me. He'll love others through me, just as you are, just as you are. One more stanza, please. And if no one comes, we'll dismiss our service. But this is your opportunity today to get right with God. Congregation this morning. We appreciate your being here. And don't be in too big a hurry to leave. The Edwards are going to be out here in just a moment. And you shake hands with them and tell Brother Edwards, make him feel good. Tell him he's a good preacher. Amen. He'll, there's something inside him that'll believe that. I know. I've been in the ministry for a long time. We appreciate their coming our way. It's been a blessing to meet them and to get acquainted with them and to hear their testimony. They write to us. We'll be sharing their letters with you. And you keep them on your prayer list. You have a bulletin. It has their name on it. In theirs are among our missionaries. And so when you pray for them, remember them in the work that they're doing, okay? As we're dismissed in prayer this morning, Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
We want to thank you, Lord, for your presence with us. And Lord, thank you that this is the first day of the rest of our lives. Each one of us, and Lord, we think of this, Lord, to love you with all our hearts. We think, Lord, of loving others, we love ourselves. Lord, I think how I love.